Blog Talk Radio.
Are you losing that loving feeling, yet you know your relationship can be wonderful? Maybe it's time for you to get some new tips and relationship secrets and tools that you can use immediately. Stay tuned. Welcome to my radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-transforming love lessons for your soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life's purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who just keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Angelina Soule is the owner of Soli Production, a company that produces educational materials for personal development and transformational growth for adults, as well as literature and music for children. Angelina has over 15 years of experience as an instructional designer, public speaker, live course facilitator, and personal coach. She is the go-to person in her circle for advice on understanding men and relationships, having come in contact with people from every continent in her past roles. She's also a songwriter and about to publish her first romance novel, finally putting her master's degree in literature to use. Her mission is to inspire others to grow and heal and express their gifts and reach their potential. You can join her new powerful summit called Secrets to Powerful Love Relationships, on which I'm one of the speakers, and I'm excited about that. So the link is listed on this page. So I'm delighted to welcome you today, Angela Soule.
Thank you so much, Erica. I'm so thrilled to be here.
And we talked about that you've traveled. You've traveled to different places and lived in different places. So I would love to hear about your background in education and training. You mentioned your degree in literature, and your natural gifts. What has led you to be focusing on helping men and women create powerful love relationships?
Well, to give you a little bit of my background, I'm from a small village in New Mexico. And from there, I went to college and I ended up moving to Spain for a couple of years. And then after leaving Europe, I came back to the United States and I've lived all over. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Brazil, just all these places, I've had the opportunity to meet people and to meet couples and learn about their relationships. But my first interest began, I think, when I was a child, just recognizing that my own parents did not have a perfect relationship, but having a childhood friend. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Having a childhood friend whose parents seemed to have the ultimate perfect relationship, And I started studying them and how they treated each other. And that served me as a guide. And then when I was about to enter college, I had a friend who was already there who shared with me that men treated women differently, that they respect than the ones they did not respect. And so that's what started my journey in giving people advice because, or more specifically women, because we don't necessarily know what we want. We don't know who we want. We don't necessarily set boundaries for what is acceptable. And so I help women when they ask me for advice to create boundaries and standards for themselves so that they can be treated with respect and get more of what they want in return.
Wow. It's amazing. I'm thinking of a client that I've been talking with. The husband seems so supportive and kind and all kinds of things, but he keeps somehow making her wrong every time she expresses her feelings. You know, she comes to him, she expresses it, and then she believes she didn't say it in the right way. And so she always takes the onus of it. Instead of having her own boundary and believing in herself and standing up to it, because he could be educated. He doesn't understand what he's doing. And so it's not as simple as it looks. It's not like
no,
he's a good guy
it never
and a bad
is.
Guy. You know,
it
and
never
that's
is.
Where people make
and we project.
Well, that's the other thing. It's because that person, that particular guy, has all these expectations of her, but he doesn't realize that he doesn't do what he's expecting her to do. You know, he's expecting
it, standard.
But not giving it. Absolutely. And people, and both men and women do that. You know, they don't even realize they're doing it because they're projecting. And that gets complicated. So you called yourself an instructional designer. What do you mean by that?
So I've worked in several companies as a corporate trainer. And so the name has changed over the years from learning and design to instructional designer. And all that means is when you're working at a company, you are putting together their training programs and then you are rolling them out. So, for example, I worked at Citigroup and they'd have software training on, you know, the particular checking account system. So then I was responsible for creating that training, which would be instructional design, and then getting it out. But as things have changed, more of that is, almost all of that is done online. And before, when I started, you know, there was more human contact. So I literally would have employees in a classroom and create a situation, and we would work through it together, and they'd be away from their workstation so they were able to focus. I also gave them lots of cookies and treats and made them play Family Feud so that it could be a fun experience and a break.
Wow. So I wanted to ask you, how has that experience as an instructional designer affected the way you look at relationships or maybe the way you view men and women?
Well, I think really that my role as an instructional designer has more impacted, you know, how people receive information and if they're going to be receptive. And what I see in relationships is that people, once the romance and the excitement kind of dwindle and you're dealing with the day-to-day, people are not having, or couples are not having essential conversations to kind of set up how they're going to communicate. One of my big things is people need to learn how to argue because you have to, and this isn't a new idea, but putting it into practice is new because you've got to first have the conversation. Hey, my love, we're having a breakdown when we argue because I shut down and you scream and yell, which makes me want to run away. So we need to figure out how we can communicate and argue and disagree without hurting each other, offending each other, because we're always going to have conflict. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I've seen. I think couples need to work on how are we going to argue? How are we going to come to the table in a fair way where we both feel heard?
And that's the issue. A lot of people think that I'm not being heard. That person shuts me off, but they do the exact same thing. Like somebody says, I want you to express your feelings. You never express it. And then the person expresses their feelings and they get criticized because the person feels like you're judging me rather than letting the person express their feelings. So then the person gets uptight and doesn't share their feelings. And then the other person says, you're never authentic and you don't express it freely.
Yeah.
Of course you don't, because you're all uptight that you're going to get criticized. So that's the stuff that goes on, even though the people love each other. And it can really lead to problems over time.
Yeah, it's like you have to learn another language. I speak Spanish fluently. I'm learning Portuguese, so I'm very familiar with having to communicate in another language. And so when you're communicating with your partner, you have to speak in a language, and which means you have to adjust what you say. You can express your feelings. It's, you just can't express them the way you want to express them, where you feel like, yes, I got that off my chest. You have to express it in a way that where it's going to be received, and that can be tricky as well, where you're not just going in for blame, right?
Angelina, I'm seeing another piece in here that we don't talk about that enough, that you also have to be able to listen without getting defensive, even when the person says it in the wrong way. Like,
true.
If the person is saying it where you're feeling blamed, instead of getting all defensive and shutting it off because you feel blamed, if you could just calm down and wait and listen beneath that the person is trying to express their feelings. And then either at that moment or later, you can say the way that you said it made me uncomfortable, but I hear you. That's what's missing. Because people can't help saying it the way that they say it. It's very hard to, especially when you're upset about the
prefaces. It is very hard.
You're upset. So the other person has to be listening. And if you're both doing that, it gets easier to say it in a nice way. It's a dance.
It's a dance, and it's a work in progress. You have to be willing to grow and change. And it's not about, oh, you're going to change your whole personality. You're trying to get me to be someone else. No, it's about evolving. We all evolve, whether we want to or not. Time does that for us. So you might as well make a conscious choice to evolve and grow with your partner instead of growing away from that person.
And also looking at the relationship as a learning experience, so that you chose this partner because something in them appealed to you, and that has a lot to do with healing your own blocked issues. Somehow you knew that was subconsciously, that person could help you heal these things. So you have to be willing to hear what they're saying because they know a lot about you, you know.
Yes.
It's amazing. So are there any other big problems with being in relationships?
Well, I think sometimes as well, I will not say people get married for the wrong reasons, but people come together and they haven't looked at whether they are aligned and whether it has the potential to work, because of the initial excitement or you just don't want to be alone. And I think many people over the course of this past interesting year have been looking at their partners like, do I know you? I mean, this is the most amount of time we've ever spent together. I'm not even sure who I'm with because there's so much time apart with the daily activities. So I think it's important to get to know the person that you're with and really see where there can be compromises and where you are aligned, because if you might be with the wrong, totally wrong person if you just wanted to get married and really didn't think about anything that was going on in that other person's life. So I think it's really just knowing your partner.
Absolutely. I wanted to say it's also important to look at their past, at their family, their background.
Yes.
If the parents were both cheating and drugging or doing a lot with alcohol or something else, and you just ignore that, that doesn't help. You have to really see the whole picture and say, can I live with this? Is it a good potential for my dreams and goals?
Absolutely. And to not overlook when these things come up. And also, equally important, just knowing ourselves. Because a lot of times we come to a relationship without a strong understanding of who we are and what we need. And then we don't get it and realize, I needed that. I needed this piece. And I'm not getting it, and I don't feel fulfilled.
Yeah, so you didn't get your needs met, so you go out and have an affair with someone who appears to be able to satisfy your needs instead of, you know, working on it in the relationship or making a decision about the relationship.
Yes, yes.
All right, so let's get off the problems. And now, how would you describe powerful love relationship? And what do you believe?
How would I describe a powerful love relationship? Well, a powerful love relationship is one where each person is aware of the other person's needs. And I really believe in the idea of the love languages, knowing that person's love language and trying to speak in that person's love language on a daily basis, and being in agreement with the idea of growth, not necessarily, okay, we're going to be the same person and everything is identical, but having the same values and belief system, having a strong foundation. And I think the most powerful love relationships are when the two people are like best friends. And just like you would treat a best friend with respect, compassion, with an unconditional type of love, that you have that for your partner. Now, we all know romantic relationships are conditional, but at least if this person is your close friend, you are going to have a higher level of regard and always keep them in mind and think of consequences before taking actions. You're going to be involved. You are going to be like best friends. That to me is a powerful love relationship.
And there's another piece there. Sometimes couples are such good friends that they lose the passion, because the passion part often requires some kind of difficulty, some kind of anxiety, some kind of stress that makes you want to make it better. So there's a wonderful author, a rabbi, Shmuley Boteach, who wrote this book, Kosher Adultery. And I loved it because he was teaching couples to play a little bit of a game, to not be so obviously available, like to go to a supermarket and come home and say, the woman says to her husband, this guy was flirting with me. You know, just something to titillate and to keep the edge on just a bit. And that can make a difference.
Yes, I mean, it's work to keep the passion alive, but it should be fun. It should be
right, it
should
fun.
Be play.
It doesn't have to be work. But just to be aware of it, to add that, that's the part that's missing from a lot of couples, is the playfulness. You're so into all the drudgery and all the, you know, tasks that you have to do, and you forget about the playfulness. Wow.
And you have to set aside time for that. When people's lives are busy and they have children, get a hotel room, have somebody else take the kids. And if that's impossible, figure out a way where you can let your kids stay with another family and you can swap so that you have that quality time alone and to do something kind of out of the ordinary, to do something exciting. I read this book when I was way too young to be reading this type of book about sensuality. And I found it recently and bought it. And she talked about, in fact, it's written by Anonymous. So I guess that's how risque this book was when it was written. But she talked about, having times where you dress up and you're playing characters and maybe, the person says, make sure you get home quickly tonight because, we have some things to talk about and you're kind of setting up a scene and the person comes home and so maybe the woman is dressed in a different outfit and a wig and she's got the lighting differently in the house and she's put on an accent. It's like, oh, mon amour, come here, whatever. But something to spice it up. You can do that. You can do that.
Well, it depends on your personality and how free you are.
True,
true. You have to do these things within your own nature.
Yes, you've got to do what you're comfortable with, certainly. But you can explore that as a couple.
Right, and find a way to spice it up. That's so important. So what would you say gets in the way and blocks the loving feelings?
Time and life. Time and life. We make the time at the beginning of the relationship. You want this person, you're pursuing this person, and then you're together and things are good. And then maybe couples have kids and you're worried about bills. And so the priority becomes the daily life stressors instead of the loving communication and connection in the relationship. So the first thing is just having a shift in priorities. Pursuing this person is no longer a priority. It's like, I got you. Let's just kind of go through this. The other thing is just time passes, right? And really being aware that in order for the relationship be one that is passionate, exciting, romantic, that you've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the effort to make that person feel special and appreciated and important. So that's what I think it is. I'm sure there's much more, but on the surface.
It's so important to call it effort instead of work, because as soon as we think there's work, it's not fun anymore.
No, well, effort. You have to put in the effort. The playful. How about playful effort?
I like that even better.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'll change it. Playful effort.
No, right. That's what I'm realizing. Words are important. And if you look at it as playful effort, it's like somebody said to me that it's a couple I've worked with, and one person said marriage is work, and the other person has to also be willing to do the work, but the other person wants to separate. So having a statement like that marriage is work and the other person should be doing the work, it doesn't fit because
Hello?
We came to a good one. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now I can hear you. So yes, I agree with you. Words are very, very powerful, and what you put out into the universe is heard. So yes, playful effort, because people already have jobs and work that they don't want to do. So why add a romantic relationship
but
to the list?
Do that.
No, this is playful effort that gives many benefits.
I love it. We came up with something good together. All right.
Yes.
So now tell us about this wonderful summit and maybe share some of the secrets that you might have learned from the experts, from the other experts?
So this, I'm so excited about the summit. There are going to be marriage and family therapists, dating coaches, relationship experts, sexologists, and the bonus, I have some romance authors who are included because they are creating these types of story where there is a lot of romance and sizzle and tension. And what I've noticed as I've interviewed them is that things really do kind of play out in real life as far as the needs that they have to create between their characters. We in real life still have these needs. Someone was saying, you know, I wanted to build up the love relationship because it's a Christian romance. I don't want them, you know, they're not just going to get together quickly. So I want to show that there's a lot of trust and there's a lot of sacrifice on the part of the characters. And there is a lot of attention for that other person. And I said, well, that's kind of the same thing in real life. We have to sacrifice and we have to care and appreciate that other person and their qualities and their characteristics and do that on a daily basis because that's what can build a stronger relationship. One of the things that caught me at the very beginning when I started this process was someone said, a couple of people said, you have to have the willingness to grow within the relationship. And both people had been divorced because they were with partners who simply were not willing to grow and they never pondered the question. And so they decided, no, I need to know that right off the bat. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to grow with me before you even move forward? So those are just some of the wonderful things, but just so many tips, like getting yourself in the right mood with different scents. An image consultant who talked about what you wear and how it influences how you walk out into the world. And if you're wearing black baggy clothes every day, all day, and wondering why someone isn't interested, it might be what you're projecting out into the universe. So it's been amazing. It has been an amazing experience, and I'm so excited to share it with everyone on Friday, May 21st.
Wow. And when you said that about willing to grow, there was a guy once when I was single who told me about, I guess it was his wife, they had been together, I don't know how many years, 4 years or 7 years, and he said, she grew me. And so maybe he wasn't so willing to grow, but however she approached him, he became willing. So some of it is the approach.
And that can work too.
I mean, it's harder, so you have to have really good skills. And that's where the coaching comes in and therapy, just getting the support that you need.
And that's when we have to hire you, Erica. That's when we have to come to you. For sure.
Thank you. I wrote a novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, to Hurricane Sandy. Right at that point, there was this huge hurricane and a lot of demolishment. But this was a couple, like star-crossed couple, where people go through that, where the family doesn't approve of it and a whole bunch of things. And she got pregnant and it wasn't appropriate. But it leads to a happy ending.
So of course.
It's fun to write a novel because it's coming out of your own brain. And it just kind of evolves and the characters start to evolve. It was a beautiful experience and I'd recommend it to anybody. And there's something called NaNoWriMo, National November Writers Month. You know, every year in November, thousands of people around the world write 50,000 words or more in their novel. So if anyone's curious, I have nothing to do with this organization, but I just, since you mentioned those novels, I thought anyone who has a desire to do that, join that group. They give you a lot of support, and it's wonderful. So, Angelina, please tell us what any new projects you have and how people can get in touch with you.
Yes, it's so funny that you mentioned that last, because my new project is I'm going to teach women how to write a romance novella using themselves as the main protagonist so that they can rewrite their own story and get a better idea and understanding of who they are as individuals. So that is what is coming up next. For me,
wow.
I'm very, very excited. It's going to be a live course. I've already developed it. I've got going to be an experience. And the best part of it is I am going to publish it into anthologies. So if people want to write erotica, that will be one anthology. If people want to write Christian romance, that will all be in one anthology. But they will have a book in their hands when it is all finished. So I'm very, very excited about that. And people can contact me by going to contact@solaiproductions.com. That's SOLAIproductions.com.
Is productions plural?
Yes, it is.
So it's contact@solaiproductions.com.
Correct. Yes.
So, Angelina, do you have any final message for our listeners?
My final message is I hope that you join us for the summit on Friday. Even if you can't be there all day, there is going to be a nugget that could be life-changing for you and in your relationship.
It's so simple. That one nugget, that one thought or new way of looking at it, just the way both of us came up with the term playful effort, one little
yes.
nugget can change how you do things and how you say things for a long time, and it can make a huge difference.
Yes, it can.
So I want to thank you. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a wonderful pleasure.
And to my listeners, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, where you can apply for a complimentary Healing Through Love session. You just enter in the contact, and I will send you a link to the form. And browse the site. There's lots of videos on there, a lot of stuff. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. And thank you so much, Angelina, for a wonderful talk.
Thank you.